The text Chris just read, Matthew 11, 27 through 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." I will give you rest. My goodness, now that is a statement I can get behind. And I think you too could get behind that statement. The idea of rest. Now, to know what's going on in Matthew 11, we have to realize that Jesus has just been in the midst of a conversation with John the Baptist and his disciples about his identity. The worry of John and his disciples is, did they back the right horse when Jesus came on the scene? Was he the Messiah? And you have to understand what's going on here. These are trying times for everyone. John's disciples, ordinary citizens, and the teachers and rulers of the law. They were bombarded with words, rules, and demands for loyalty by so many. The nation, the religion, and the teachers were all getting in on this. And we find a group of people who were complicit with Rome. Others were complicit with the power structures that were being created. And others were complicit to unbelief. And all of this meant for a stressed out, overworked, and worried group of people. Now, does that sound familiar? Jesus looks over the crowd, and you can almost imagine a deep sigh and a compassionate look on his face as he brings the final verses of this moment of Matthew 11. "Come to me," he says. "Come to me and find rest." Now, to be honest, this has been a difficult sermon for me this week. Because I realized as I was writing the sermon that I and even the church, big church, has been complicit in not helping, not encourage, and not create the space needed to lessen the load of many people. I think many times we've been guilty of adding to the load. And so as we get started, I want you to begin to think about what rest looks like. And as I was starting this, one of the things that came to mind, and I'm not sure you've noticed this, and maybe you have, but there are many, many, oh, so many diets and detoxes for the body. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed the amount of diets and detoxes there are? The commercials, the products, and the many testimonials that will bombard your TVs, your inboxes, and even your social media pages. There are drinks. There are shakes, there are certain dietary restrictions, and yes, even people who fast from food. And you know what? The drinks, well, have you ever tried one? They're bad. The shakes, I really don't want my vegetables blended. And the dietary restrictions, well, I can get behind that. It's not terrible, but the food fast, come on, I am not really a big fan of someone telling me I can't eat. I just don't understand the people who stop eating. Now, I know there are some, because of conversations I have, who just forget to eat, who just forget to have breakfast or forget to have lunch, but to kind of force myself not to eat, not happening. But the interesting thing is, each of them have their own uniqueness, and each will kind of tell us certain things about ourselves. And the funny thing is when we do it, when we do one of these, I found that when I call it, if someone's telling me what they're doing and I say, "Oh, you're on this diet," they immediately almost jump on me and say, "It is not a diet. It is a lifestyle." Now, whatever you want to call it, I think I like the word lifestyle more than I like the word diet, because diet carries with it something short-term. Many of us have probably done diets in which it worked, and then we got off the diet, and we think about 3 months later, I need to go back on the diet. I like lifestyle because at least it has a transformative quality to it. And I think there's hope when we call it lifestyle, But the desire for these plans, the desire for all these things that we're bombarding ourselves, that is being bombarded to us, is this. It's trying to detox our life. So a lot of them these days are what? They're trying to detox our life from sugar. They're trying to open our eyes to our dependence on sugar. And I'm not going to rip on sugar from this pulpit, because my wife would tell you I'm as guilty as the next of eating a half a quart of Andy's ice cream with pumpkin pie in it the other day. But what it's trying to do is it's trying to show you how you're dependent upon sugar. And so these detoxes raise our attentiveness to our dependence, our cravings, and our need for it. And the hope is if we do these, that our body will cleanse itself. It will be able to filter and even reboot our system. And when that happens, our eyes become open to how our body can really feel, how our minds can become clearer, and our souls can even be refreshed. And the text for today in Matthew 11, 27 through 30, has Jesus speaking of a type of detox. We like the detox Jesus is speaking of when he says, "Come to me and find rest." It takes our mind to ease and comfort. It's the beauty of hearing Psalm 23 and why we like to hear it so much. And it's read over and over. It imagines a world led by a shepherd, but not just any shepherd, God as shepherd. A world at rest, a world at peace. But bringing it down to even a more micro level, it's actually talking about us being at peace, us being at rest. And so when we hear it for us, it's almost as if rest becomes this imaginative thing. We can imagine what it would feel like to be restful. But have you ever noticed as we talk about rest, it's got this hopeful quality to it, but also this hopeless quality to it? We wish for those days when we could find rest, and we may even try to pencil it into our calendar, rest day. But we still say to ourselves, and we still say to our friends, and yes, we even still say to our family, I heard it yesterday, one day I will rest. Maybe when I die, I will rest. And Jesus' invitation in Matthew 11 is just that. It's an invitation. An invitation that does not exhaust, does not burn up, or even rob us. And how many of us have ever just felt robbed? We felt beat up. The rest Jesus speaks of is one the weary, the exhausted, and the beat down can drink from. A rest for the one wandering in the weary desert and coming up upon an oasis. It is that first cold drink of water after a long day of work. A rest that speaks of something more than just taking a nap or a stop off at Bucky's. It's more than just finding the needed energy to make it through the day. And we've even figured that out. We now make these 5-hour energy shots. Anybody had one of those? Just need to make it through the day. Here's a 5-hour energy shot to get it through. And those things are bad. But the rest Jesus speaks of here is more full-throated. And that's why we can't help but push past Matthew 11 and go to Matthew 12 and see that the conversation continues. The conversation in Matthew 12 continues about the Sabbath. We talked about it a little bit last week in Mark 2. The Pharisees desired a restrictive, almost a forced rest. They were forcing the people to rest. Yet Jesus envisions a rest which is attentive and present to the whole body. Well, of course the disciples would pick heads off the wheat stems. They're hungry. Jesus doesn't see it as restrictive. Jesus sees it as a full-bodied experience, a rest which is refreshing for the whole body. And going further, a rest which is refreshing for the whole family. And how many of us need our families to be refreshed? It includes mind, body, and spirit. Remember when Jesus and God tells Israel what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind. The rest Jesus has is a rest that brings all of these into play. It's a rest, as Jesus talks about in Matthew 11, that should take us back to the creation narrative, the narrative of Genesis 2:2-3, when God on the seventh day rested. And don't get me wrong, that's good, but God even knew that the people wouldn't get it, so he even put it into the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20:8-11, what do we read? We read in the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment, God commanded, designated a day of rest for the people. And if you didn't know, it's got the most explanation of any of the commandments. And I think there's a reason for that. Because most of us struggle with this. Most of us struggle with the idea of rest. We fight rest. We even demean rest. We demean rest because we call it laziness. We demand the opposite of rest to ourselves and to others, and so we begin a cycle in our children. Thou shalt not be idle. Thou shalt not be lazy, we say. Idle hands are what? Please tell me you know. I had to Google it. Idle hands are? The devil's workshop, yes. I figured someone in here would know, because I had to Google it when I thought idle and devil went hand in hand with something. Idle hands are the devil's workshop, we suggest. And then we continue to say, thou shalt not rest. And yet, when we read Matthew 11, what do we read? We read Jesus saying, thou shalt find rest. And it makes sense. When we read the Ten Commandments, we expect the thou shalt not rules. We see them all through the nine commandments. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that. Thou shalt not do this. And so we kind of expect to see it. But right in the middle is this, thou shall stop. And God says, thou shall stop and take a rest like I took a rest. To rest in God, to rest in the life of God, to rest in the words of God. To live in everything we've talked about, to live in the trust and the boundaries and the life of God, is to find the rest that reboots and detoxifies our life. It is a rest from labor creating. I don't want to say this again because I think this is big. This is a rest from creating as labor tells us to create. And if anybody knows this better, it would be the kids of Egypt. Think about what Egypt did to them. Egypt, the original taskmasters of production and the restless culture. The rulers that planted the seeds of what I'm going to explain here in a minute. How many of us have ever heard of the word FOMO? Israel helped create the seeds of FOMO, the continued production, the endless production, a life of never enough was instilled in the people of God from the very beginning. Then the only way to get enough was to what? Was to work harder, was to rest less. And we see Egypt put it inside of us, the idea of a restless society. And I think this is why it makes imagining a rest so difficult. We don't really know what rest is or what it really feels like. It feels like in our time today that we still live in a restless society, always on the go and on the move, always afraid we're going to miss out on something. Remember that word FOMO? Yep, there it is. The fear of missing out. We have a fear of missing what is happening around us. So our society lives and believes that it must thrive on a 24-hour news cycle. Everything we see is 24 hours this day. Everything is open for 24 hours. Some of us here probably remember when TVs at a certain time would cut off and they would go to the test pattern until 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. You remember that? I can remember those days. Or they'd play like the national anthem over and over and over and over again, trying to get you to turn off the TV. That doesn't happen anymore, does it? We almost have a fear of turning it off or powering it down because we're afraid we'll miss something. It's a sense of need that's been planted inside of us. And God never intended for creation to be restless. Living in the shadows of always doing, always connected, and always moving. Humanity's identity was not born out of the task of laboring, but instead was born out of a place of being with God. Society tells us, consume, don't stop, don't disconnect. It's what our devices continue to tell us to do. Our devices say, consume as much as possible. Don't set us down. If you set us down, you will be behind and you will miss out. And there's that FOMO again. As one preacher I heard said the other day, he said this, we are not human doings, we are human beings. But how many of us feel like we're human doings? Believing our worth and our value are made up of what we do and how we do it. Technology has made it easier to live into and become, and has become our new taskmasters when we think about it. After all, if we cannot finish it at the office, then we can always bring it home, right? Our laptops are always open, and our phones are always humming. We no longer have any safe spaces. And so as I began this sermon with the difficulty of it, I realized even the church has struggled to be a safe space of rest. Our home is no longer a home, as it has just become another workspace. The restless society continues on until now we even see it in our children. We just can't turn it off, because turning it off will mean we miss something. A tweet, a Facebook post, an email, a text message, some breaking news alert, and we've seen a lot of those lately. There we go again. We're still got this FOMO thing. And as one author wrote in his memories, that his son came up to him when he believed he had figured out what his father's job was. And he looked at his dad and said, Dad, I figured out what you do. And he said, what do I do, son? He says, you type on your computer and you talk on the phone. It's our FOMO kicking in again. It's why we like the idea of rest, but we can't actually live it out. It's the same reason we know that detoxing our body is good. We know that our body needs detoxing. And we know that we should do it. And like rest and like the detox diets or lifestyles and other things, they are both good for us, and we know it, but both are hard and they really might hurt. We might even be afraid of what we'll find out about ourselves if we actually do it. We might become attentive and aware to our cravings and our needs. But rest was never intended as a punishment. I want you to hear that. Rest was never intended as a punishment. It was never a gotcha thing. The rest Jesus speaks of was for us to become aware of where our true center is rooted. Remember a few seconds ago I said we have this identity that seems to be rooted in being needed and not missing out on things, of knowing everything. And what Jesus seems to say is rest actually roots us back in our true center, where our identity actually comes out of and is from. It is resting in Jesus where we find out our identity has always been secured and it has meaning. Where worry is wiped away and fear is transformed into love. Jesus does not burden us with the need to continually consume or produce. Notice what Jesus never says. You have to keep going. Jesus never tells us consume, 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 produce, produce, produce. It takes a lot for a rabbi to say stop, stop, and rest. Instead, in the life of Jesus, we find a rest rooted in love. Love with one another. Love with ourselves, and love with God. Being with is more important than being without. Rest is rooted in God's deep, abiding love to see us flourish, to find our gifts. And notice what I didn't say. The rest Jesus has or imagines for us is not devoid of work. It's not devoid of work. Instead, it is a work that is fruitful and multiplies. It is a work that allows us to work when we rest because of this detoxification that happens, because of this refreshment that happens, because we get a moment to realize where our true center lies. And so Jesus doesn't tell us not to work. But what Jesus says is, where are you finding your rest? And I'm afraid most of us are finding our rest in the very things we know we need to turn off. It brings life to others when we can rest in Jesus, We're able to see people through the lens of Jesus. Work and rest are rhythms. They are those jigs we talked about in our life. They work in harmony with one another. Our flourishing, the best version of ourself, comes when we live into this intended rhythm by God. 6 days you'll work, one day you'll stop. Come to me, all that you are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. There it is again. Jesus inviting you to rest. But don't think we are the first not to get this figured out. Jesus in Matthew 11 looks out at a group of people who are tired, who have been occupied for too long, and who are always looking over their shoulder, and tells them to come to him. Come to him. Watch him. Listen to him. Emulate him. It is in this that one will find rest. One will find freedom from the fear of missing out and the ability to turn it off. And wouldn't that be just a small victory if we could just turn it off? If we could turn off our devices, if we could turn off the noise, if we could turn off our minds so that we could focus on the person in front of us? And so here's the challenge as we close this. The challenge is this. As we begin a new month, and October starts tomorrow, here's the challenge for you and your family. As you, the conversations I've had with people have been fruitful, but as you think about this, as you think about your relationship with technology, your relationship even with work, the gods of our time, my challenge is this: take a rest. This month, find space. Find space. Put the phone down. If you have to, turn off the Wi-Fi for the day. I know that sounds great. Yeah, as Ron looks at me with eyebrows. Turn off the Wi-Fi. Close the computer and just listen. Play. Laugh. And enjoy one another. Rest in the love of God with one another. Break the cycle of fear of missing out. You may find out that the day of rest, the space you carve out, you're not as important as you thought you were. And by the way, that's okay. It doesn't mean you're not important to us. Just maybe if we do this, we'll begin to realize the wonderful world that God is desiring for his people. That we'll begin to realize that God has a world out there that he is creating, that he wants us to be a part of. A world not enslaved by the taskmasters, but a world at rest in the identity of the Creator. And imagine if we could find our identity again in the Creator. And not only that we find it, but then we live it out to everyone else around us. Imagine what could start. And I know this is just a start. It's kind of easy. Disconnect for a little while. If you've got to start slow, detoxing is hard, take an hour and do it. And then move it to half a day. And then move it to a full day. But see what it would be like if you could just rest in God with one another, enjoying each other, enjoying the life that God had intended for creation, to not always be laboring and doing. Because I'm afraid in this FOMO culture, the gods have won, and we've missed out on the life God has wanted for us for so long.